Please turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we want to read verses 28 and 29. John 5, verses 28 and 29. Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation or condemnation." In these verses, Jesus taught very clearly that all the dead will be raised, and then everyone will be judged. This morning we studied a number of passages from the Lord's Word that teach us the truth about the resurrection. This evening, though, we want to examine the occasion when Jesus taught the Sadducees about the resurrection. This particular event is recorded in three places in the New Testament in the Gospel accounts. We want to read all of them because, you see, by looking at each account, we're able to know all the details that the Lord wants us to know. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. We'll begin reading at verse 23. "The same day came to him," that is to Jesus, "the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, 'Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine." Let's turn to Mark's account, Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, we want to begin reading at verse 18. "Then came unto him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, which that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err." Now let's turn to Luke's account, Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, we want to begin reading at verse 27. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection, and they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die, having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, The children of this world marry, and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain unto that world, and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he calleth the Lord, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. I was taught a long time ago that when you're studying a particular matter in the scriptures, to look at all that the Bible has to say on that particular subject. That's actually based on a passage of scripture. Psalm 119 and verse 160 in the American Standard Version says, The sum, S-U-M, of thy word is truth. You need to look at all that the Bible says on any particular subject, then you will know what God wants you to know. Now, if we leave out a portion of what God has revealed to us, we might come to some false conclusions. So when studying the Bible, take all that the Bible says on any given subject, then you'll know what God wants you to know. On this occasion, Jesus was approached by some people identified as the Sadducees. Now, basically, the Sadducees were wealthy Jewish political leaders. You know, we were singing earlier, Above the Bright Blue. That's a beautiful old song. Always loved it. The Sadducees wouldn't sing that beautiful song. What about that other song? Never grow old. That's taking on more of a meaning for me every single day. The Sadducees would not have sung that song. Is it that sad? I heard someone suggest one time that these people were rightly named sad Jewsees. They couldn't help but be sad people because of what they believed. But basically, the Sadducees were wealthy Jewish political leaders. It's my understanding that they had a lot of influence in the Jewish community. Look at Acts chapter 4. They are mentioned with the priest and the captain of the temple. Now, as we read a few verses at the beginning of Acts chapter 4, keep in mind that the church had experienced a great beginning in chapter 2. In chapter 3, Peter and John went to the temple in the hour of prayer, and they were given an opportunity to heal a man who was born lame. That provided an opportunity for Peter to preach to a number of people, and as he did so, he declared very clearly that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Now, chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, that is Peter and John, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They did not appreciate the fact that Peter and John were proclaiming that Jesus had been raised from the dead. You see, that went against one of their cardinal beliefs. They're also mentioned in Acts 5 and verse 17 with the high priest. Acts 5 and verse 17 says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison." Now they're angry with all of the apostles. They'd been doing a great work, and many people became Christians as a result of their teaching and the miracles that they performed. Notice that the Sadducees are mentioned in Acts 4 with the priests and the captain of the temple. And then in chapter 5 and verse 17, they are mentioned with the high priest. Basically, the Sadducees were wealthy Jewish political leaders. They had some peculiar doctrines, though. I think it's interesting that the gospel accounts that we read, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell us that they said there is no resurrection. In other words, they did not believe in life after death. Notice also what's revealed in Acts 23 and verse 8 concerning their doctrines. We know that they did not believe in the resurrection. But this verse says, "For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees confess both." Isn't it interesting that the Sadducees not only rejected the resurrection, they did not believe in angels, they did not believe in the spirit. You know, it's interesting that the Old Testament scriptures tell about a number of occasions when angels made appearances. Now, these people claim to believe the law of Moses. But Jesus pointed out to them and to others that they really did not. The Sadducees believed that all life ends with the grave. That is, when a person dies, that's it. And when we think about their doctrines that they believed and taught, perhaps that will help us understand why Jesus told his followers to beware of the leaven of these people. Look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. Of course, when Jesus mentioned the leaven of these people, he was talking about their doctrine. Matthew 16 and verse 6, "Then Jesus said unto them," that is to his disciples, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Now, what was Jesus really talking about? Look at verse 12. "Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Well, these are the people who approached Jesus on the occasion that we're studying. They had a lot of influence in the Jewish community, but they did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in angels, and they did not believe in the Spirit. The Sadducees, when they approached Jesus on this occasion, presented a hypothetical situation. Now, the situation that the Sadducees presented to our Lord was actually based on something taught in the law of Moses. That law is found in Deuteronomy chapter 25. Now, they quoted from this law. Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 and 6. Now, this is Moses writing to the children of Israel. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. Now, why did God give this law to his people? It's clearly revealed in the latter part of verse 6, that the names be not put out of Israel. That's the law that the Sadducees mentioned when they came to our Lord. And I want you to notice that they quoted it properly. Now, this situation involves seven brothers who had the same wife. I find that to be a very interesting situation. I tried to break it down in maybe a situation that perhaps we could relate to more directly. I have two brothers. Gary had three brothers. Can you imagine the four Wade boys all having the same wife? Charlie, how would you feel about that? Well, suppose the first brother lived a fairly long life. It could be that his wife would be past the age of being able to have children. You can see where this would lead. Well, it's a hypothetical situation. Just imagine seven brothers. The first one died without any children. The law said that his brother was to take his wife, his deceased brother's widow, and have relations with her. She would have a child so that the name of that deceased brother would not be put out of Israel. Can you imagine that happening to seven brothers in the same family? Well, Jacob had 12 sons. He had 12 sons by four different wives. But by the time the first century rolled around, people were not living nearly as long as Jacob did. Just thinking about this situation, it just doesn't make any sense. But I remember hearing in school years ago, one of my teachers said that this is the situation that the Sadducees used when they wanted to put the Pharisees to silence. You see, the Pharisees did believe in the resurrection. It's my understanding that as they were having discussions, we would call this the ace in the hole for the Sadducees, because the Pharisees had no answer for it. Well, you can just imagine the types of arguments that may have come up as a result of this situation being discussed. Now, the Sadducees wanted Jesus to tell them whose wife this woman would be in the resurrection. I can almost see the smug looks on the faces of these Sadducees thinking, "We got him now. He can't answer this situation." They underestimated our Lord's great wisdom. Well, Jesus answered that question that the Sadducees asked. Jesus first told these people that they were wrong. They erred greatly. In other words, they were grievously mistaken. I just suspect maybe the smug looks on the faces of the Sadducees began to change about this point, because here's this young rabbi telling them that they were wrong. I don't think they were used to hearing that. But they heard it on that occasion. Jesus went on to say that they did not know the scriptures and they did not know the power of God. Jesus went on to explain that marriage is a relationship that is associated with life on earth, not in heaven. Jesus didn't stop there. Remember that when our Lord was confronted by people such as he was on this occasion, others would have been present. The Lord's disciples were usually there, and other people were there that provided Jesus with an opportunity to teach. And Jesus would take advantage of those opportunities that were presented to him. But Jesus did not stop by telling these people that they were wrong. He did not stop when he explained that marriage is a relationship associated with life here on earth, not in heaven. He went on to quote a passage from the book of Exodus. That's Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6. Exodus 3 and verse 6. This is the passage that Jesus quoted. Now, to fully appreciate this, we need to understand that the Sadducees claimed to follow the books of Moses. They did not care too much for the writings of the prophets. I wonder why. Because the writings of the prophets violated what they believed and taught. But apparently they had not clearly checked out all of the law of Moses. Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. This is the passage that Jesus quoted. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, what was the situation that led God to make that statement? Let's back up to verse 1 of the same chapter. Remember that Moses spent his first 40 years in Egypt. He had to leave Egypt. He spent the next 40 years basically tending the sheep of his father-in-law. But then the people down in Egypt, that is the people of Israel, cried out to God for a deliverer. Someone was being prepared to be that deliverer. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Now verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God was speaking to Moses from the burning bush. And as he did so, he identified himself as the God of the father of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had passed away many years earlier. They'd been gone for a long time. But notice the tense in which God spoke. He said, I am. Now, by using that particular phraseology, it was implied that these great men from the past were still alive somewhere. Jesus went on to say, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. In other words, there is life after death. The Sadducees did not believe that. They did not believe that all will be raised when the Lord returns. But Jesus showed, quoting from a passage they claimed to believe, that although Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died many years earlier, they were still alive somewhere and somehow. Well, this is another occasion when Jesus was asked a question that was designed to entrap him. In his response, Jesus demonstrated his great wisdom, and he demonstrated his knowledge of Scripture. And he revealed some very important information about the resurrection for our benefit. It's my understanding, as I said earlier, that the Sadducees had a lot of influence in the Jewish community. I wonder after this occasion if maybe they didn't have quite so much influence. Jesus pointed out that these people were wrong, but he took advantage of that situation to do some teaching on the resurrection that would be a benefit to others who were nearby. I've made this observation a number of times. Whenever I study occasions when people confronted Jesus for the purpose of entrapping him, using something against him, he demonstrated his great wisdom and his knowledge of Scripture. But he would take advantage of those situations to do some teaching that would benefit others, including us, even today. You know, quite often in the Bible, God is described as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That just has a majestic tone to it, doesn't it? We can read about the actions of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and trust in the same God that they trusted and rely upon his protection today. Well, the Sadducees could have avoided these mistakes that they made if they had only done what Jesus taught in John 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They rejected the Lord's word. They held on to their own private beliefs. Now, why in the world these people rejected the idea of the resurrection is beyond me. But that just shows how far people can go when they don't take God's word for what it is. It's everlasting. It's complete. The Bible is the inspired word of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. If these people had only listened to what the Lord said, examined his great miracles, which prove that he's the Son of God, if they had just accepted what he had to say, think about the hope that they could have had. They could have sung songs like we were singing earlier, above the bright blue, never grow old. You know, a lot of our songs have to do with heaven and the next life. The Sadducees could have sung those songs if they had just listened to the Lord and followed what he said. I believe there's a lesson for us today. Always take the Lord's word for what it is. It's the inspired word of God. It is profitable. We need to understand it, obey it, and keep it. If you'd like to respond to the invitation, we invite you to do so as we stand to sing the first verse of the song that's been selected.